The Vibes! Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K26 and not a gambling sponsor. That's right.
Oh,
one of the few shows. It's kind of random, I'm saying that. There's no particular reason that I'm pointing that out this week. But Coach, we're here to talk about basketball. It's myself, Mobutsi, alongside me, the legendary two-time NBA champion, Coach Brendan Sir. Coach, how you doing this week?
Mo, it is, if it got any better, I don't know what I would do, buddy. I'll tell you what, I've got goosebumps all week. The NBA is back. The games are good. Some of the best teams haven't won a game yet, which is what basketball is about. I mean, it's about competition. And I tell you what, and we have some other teams that are playing really well, you know, teams that hadn't played well in the past. So let's get to it.
We're going to break it down. I know there's some big off-the-court stories going on in the NBA.
Sure.
We don't concern ourselves with that realm of that particular industry. We're here to talk about the real basketball.
Right.
That's what we're here for because, as you said, there's been so many great performances. There's been so many surprises to start the season. And, Coach, just off-rip, aside from the obvious, you know, Victor Wembanyama going crazy in his, you know, first game for the Mavericks, against the Mavericks, who's jumped out to you and surprised you? Has it been a team that's caught your eye or a particular player that's caught your eye? Who's caught Coach's eye to start this season in the first week?
Well, you know, we both thought that San Antonio, you know, people had just, you know, since Wimby had gotten there in 2 years, one because of illness last second half of the year, that no one had put the Spurs in. You and I, Bells, thought they could climb. There's no ceiling for the Spurs, in my opinion. New coach, new staff, some additional players that I think are really going to help them. But this is new Wimby also.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had friends, lifelong basketball guys, coaches, players say they don't know if they've seen a guy like this ever. And these are guys around the league 30, 40 years. So that was kind of cool. The stuff he's done in a couple of games, I'm not sure I've seen. You know, where he's doing it from, way out in the perimeter. No one scores on him inside. He dunks the ball anytime he's within 8 feet of the basket. He's just a unique guy, but he's a great teammate. That's the thing I really like about him. And his innocence of being so young is really neat, you know.
Mm-hmm. But he's got really a mature mentality as well.
Well, I was just going to say, he's 21, but the people around him in his inner circle have really, really done a great job of, you know, keeping him grounded. But I don't think you have to keep him grounded. I think he's there already. And so he is a very, you usually can't in the world say 21 years old and you're mature. I think he is.
Mm-hmm.
I think not just basketball wise. And so I'm really anxious to see what happens to them. Every time, my opinion, every time he plays, it's must-see TV.
Absolutely.
Because there's things in the first two games I had not seen. I have not seen. I have not seen guys making four-point plays that shoot the ball at 7'5", you know, stuff like that. I haven't seen guys block shots the way he does.
Do you know what I loved, Coach? You know what I really loved?
What's that?
First play of the game, Pelicans versus Spurs. Zion Williamson dunks on Wemby. And you know Joe has told Zion before the game, listen, you got to go out there. You got to go put him on a poster. So Zion goes out there. First play of the game, he does exactly that.
Exactly.
And then in the first half alone, Wemby has 5 blocks, 4 of them on Zion. And
right.
I'm like, this is like cinema. You couldn't script games like this. It's unbelievable.
And Zion played great.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, 27 points. You know, he almost had a triple-double. But he competed, but that's how good this guy is. So he has a stat line against the Pelicans. The thing that amazes me, they played an overtime game, 53 minutes. I think Zion might have played 47, which no mm-hmm. problem, in my opinion. Trey Murphy, same thing. Wimby plays 32 minutes in a 53-minute game and has a stat line that you know, you just can't believe. Nine
video
blocks,
game numbers.
Said.
It's NBA 2K26 numbers, Coach.
Oh, is that what we're saying? I
love
that's
that.
That's a great promo.
We're going to get to the Spurs a bit later on in the show.
Sure. Okay.
A player that's caught my eye to start this season. And, you know, the start of the season is always funny for me because I have all of my friends message me saying, Mo, I'm in this fantasy basketball league. Which player should I pick? Which player should I keep an eye out on? And the thing is, I like helping my friends. they never share the prize winnings with me when they win their fantasy leagues. So I've stopped helping everyone. But for our listeners here on the show, if you want to make some early season roster moves, a player that's really caught my eye has been Keyshawn George of the Washington Wizards. Now, in his second year, he's had two really, really good games. He's been playing elite defense on the defensive side of the basketball. And on offense, he's averaging 27.5 points through these first two games. Now, I don't expect him to keep that up. Yeah. I don't expect him to, you know, keep shooting 67% from behind the arc. But he's averaging 27.5 points. He's averaging 10 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal and a half, and 2.5 blocks every game. And the way he's been playing on both sides of the court, that's really caught my eye, and it's a great sign for the Washington Wizards.
Yeah, and it's a player that's not on the radar at all. I mean, around the league and stuff like that. So kudos to him. But I really like the way they've come out of the gate. They really competed. They went down to Dallas and won, which is another story for us to discuss, and how the Mavs start out 0-2 at home. At home.
Well, that's a beautiful segue, because the first section of the show is going to be about the slow starters to the season in the first week. And the first team I wanted to talk about was the Mavericks, who, as you said, started 0-2. Talk to me, Coach. What's going on? Because the media had them as contenders.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, obviously Kyrie Irving being out, you know, when you have such an elite lead guard as Kyrie, who can, you know, score 30 and he can dish out 12 assists. I mean, he's a very, and the best finisher of the guard maybe in the league that doesn't dunk the ball. But still, they have a lot of talent. And there's something going on there. You know, we always, as a coach, you can always see something. And one of the things that you can see is when you do play at home, which is a comfort spot, and you're not playing back-to-back, which is another thing where you can go play back-to-back like Golden State did. They win an overtime game at home, then they have to travel to Portland. They get blown out. That happens, okay, on the travel and back-to-back. But they've had a day off at home, and they've gotten blown out of two games, basically. Mm-hmm. That's concerning. As we like to say, my man Chuck Daly used to say, something's going on. And I don't know what it is, but something's going on.
Just a thought and an observation. I don't know. I've not spoken to anyone in the Mavericks before.
Me too.
Confused. I don't know how much longer Jason Kidd wants to be coaching this Mavericks team, because ever since that Luka trade, he's not seemed the happiest down there in Dallas. But I wanted to talk to you about this, Coach.
He just signed a contract extension this past week.
Hey, but if they decide to make a change, he still gets paid.
So. Oh, yes, he does.
take the money. The money's a sure thing. But I wanted to talk to you about Cooper Flagg, the number one pick in the draft, who came in with such lofty expectations. We've talked about him on this show before. He's averaging 14 points, 7.5 rebounds and 3 assists and a steal to start the season. But they've thrown him in at the starting point guard spot. And for any rookie coming into the NBA, being trusted with that point guard role and orchestrating things out there on the floor is such a difficult task, especially when he's not naturally a point guard. That's not his natural position. What do you make of that? Is that part of the reason for the slow start?
No, he's played really well. He's played very well. And then he brought them back in the fourth quarter. And, you know, since we're talking video games, he had a highlight reel in the fourth quarter. He's a small forward that played point, you know, what we call point forward in college, because he can run the offense. But the hardest position in the pros is to be able to guard the man you're that's playing against you or you're playing against. And so the most elite and quickest players in the league are the point guards. So defensively, you don't want to have him guarding those people at 6'8", 6'9". So I think it's really hard. Then to have him run the show, I don't know. Early season,
the Mavericks made a mistake by starting him at point guard.
Well, I'm not going to talk about that, but I do know this. You know, they will tell you that in the NBA now, and I somewhat agree with it, is positionless basketball, we call it, where there's really no positions. And I do agree with that. The way everyone in the NBA plays the same damn way. It's a problem, in my opinion.
Well, the most used lineup so far for the Mavericks is essentially four guys who could play the power forward role plus Klay Thompson. It's Anthony Davis, PJ Washington, Derek Lively, Cooper Flagg, and Klay Thompson out there on the court, which is interesting. And, you know, it's switchable. It's, you know, they've got versatile options on offense, but I don't know if, well, like you say, there's no positions and everyone's playing a similar style. I don't know if it's optimal.
Well, it obviously isn't. You know, I think the really interesting thing is that DeAndre Jordan got picked up on Friday by the Pelicans, and DeAndre's a great guy, and he's been around the league for about, I think, since I was in it. And, you know, he made a great comment. He said, every team in the league, all 30 teams, play the same way. The only thing different is terminology, which is a hell of an indictment. That's not a good thing that's happening. It's easy way to coach basketball. We're all doing the same thing. You know, Isaiah said last week, Pat Riley didn't coach the way Phil Jackson did, and Chuck Daly and Larry Brown. And we all coach our own style. And you do it really in any sport. I think it's analytics-driven basketball, and they're telling you how many threes to shoot, which is insane. So I think, you know, it's going to put for some bad players out there and a lot of bad shots. A lot of bad combinations, not bad players, but combinations. I think that's what we're seeing early on.
Another team that's off to a slow start was another team that was looked at as contenders. And I have no doubt that this slow start will slowly come to a stop and they'll start picking up wins. But the OKC Thunder took down the Rockets in the Rockets' first game, and then the Pistons took down the Rockets in their second game. So the Houston Rockets are now 0-2. You know, obviously without Fred VanVleet, who we spoke about the impact of that injury. But do you put down these first two losses? Obviously the first one in double overtime against the reigning champs. That's tough. The reigning champs are bringing back the same squad. You're expecting them to win that. But then the battle of the Thompson twins against the Detroit Pistons, they took a close loss there again. What are you looking at for this Rockets team that's kind of, they're in the games, they're just not closing them out strong enough?
Yeah, I mean, they should have won the first game. I think that, you know, the thing that you and I talked about is they have a really... They have nice players. I think two things. They're trying to play with very big team. They actually started two centers in Sagoon and, you know, Steven Adams against, and you know, which is, I don't see Steven Adams being a player that you want to start because you don't want him to play that many minutes over the course of the season. I love Steven Adams. I love him on my team. Sagoon is just an all-star caliber player. Sagoon is basically bringing the ball up to court half the time. Mm-hmm. I don't want that from my 6'10 player. I think they have to figure out the point guard situation. Amen Thompson's the guy you and I feel because of his size, his length, his defensive ability, not great at running a team, adequate maybe. So I think Ime is going to have to really, really figure out how to defend with this team. They tried to play some 2-3 zone against OKC, and it was absolutely horrific. Absolutely awful.
The zone worked really well for them last year in the playoffs, particularly. But
yeah, it was awful. This against OKC's
teams are better prepared for it as well now.
Well, they're small, and I've never, you know, you could drive a truck down the middle of their 2-3 zone. You know, so you know, there's a lot of nuances to doing that. It's early in the year; they haven't had a lot of practice time, and they're really struggling how to fit Shepherd in there because he cannot guard anyone. And he can't get the ball up to court against really quick, good defensive guards like Casey Wallace. Could not get it up to court. This is a problem. This is a real problem.
In college, he wasn't a liability on the defensive end. You know.
Oh, yes, he was. He was. He was huge.
Do you think?
Yeah, no. Oh, no, he was. Everyone knew he couldn't.
I saw some late-game sequences when he was in college where he actually held his own.
Yeah, it's college, and he's stealing the ball and stuff like that. But he's very small, small.
Well, this is what I was going to say: the jump in, very athleticism, and also the IQ of the opponents when you get to the pro level just shows you the difference with college and the NBA.
Yeah, so he's really going to have to show something, and I think Ime's going to struggle and they can't acquire players. That's their biggest problem. Yep. So they're a little bit stuck, and they've done a great job in putting a squad together. And it's going to be interesting because they're old in certain spots. And if you have Durant, Steven Adams, some of those guys playing a lot of minutes, that's not good for the long run.
Yep. They've got Aaron Holiday as well. They've also got JD Davison, former G League star. But I don't know if any of those guys had a true answer. We're just going to hope that Amen Thompson develops as the season rolls on. Another team that's off to a slow start, and I know if BJ was still here, he'd be loving it, but my Boston Celtics are starting out with a horrific start to the season. But it's to be expected with the roster changes and everything going on. They're 0-2. But it's not the fact that they're 0-2 that's bad. It's the fact that they were up double digits to the 76ers, lost it in the fourth quarter, and the Sixers put up like 42 points in the fourth quarter. And then the game against the Knicks on Friday night, they, for the first, if the first quarter, third quarter, and fourth quarter, they won. It was just the second quarter, they lost 42-12, where they were turning the ball over on almost every possession. And the Knicks, I don't think they had to run an offensive set in the whole second quarter. They just ran in transition and scored at will.
Here's what I'm going to say about Joe Mazzulla. Joe Mazzulla has very quickly become one of the best coaches in the league. He's in the top category of competitors. He will figure it out in a big way. He's a team, and they're a team I'm not worried about, because he'll maximize whatever they are. So I'm not worried about that. He's going to have them. They're going to be incredibly competitive. How good that will help them be, I don't know. But just the idea of being up in games, I think is a really good thing. But I think Joe is a terrific coach. And I think, you know, Jaylen Brown, as we said, has got to play MVP caliber ball, you know, and their guard problem. They have a lot of guards, but who's going to evolve and come out of there? I don't know. Obviously, you know, Derek White's got to be great. Pritchett, I think, overachieved last year. Now he's on the radar. Now with Drew Holiday out, now you're preparing to stop him. Well, it's hard. With
Peyton Pritchett, he was the sixth man of the year last year. They put him into the starting lineup, something that he's doing for the first time on a consistent basis now. But they did acquire Anthony Simons over the summer, who's got more experience as a starter, and they're bringing him off the bench. And I'm wondering if you flip those two around, Pritchard will be more comfortable coming off the bench, and Anthony Simons can give you that offensive punch, because Jaylen Brown so far, when all the attention is on him, he's struggling a little bit, not just to create his own shots, but also to create for others.
I think what Joe is trying to do with Anthony, who I know since high school, is that I think he's trying to ease him into the transition. I think one of the big things is minutes distribution. You can bring a guy off the bench, and when he comes off the bench, all the shots are for him.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what Joe's doing. When you come in,
did you watch the Knicks game on Friday night?
No, I didn't. I can't afford Prime.
Oh, well, first of all, if you do watch the games on Amazon Prime, you will hear the voice of yours truly on the broadcast. Well, you won't, because you're in the United States, but for any other English-speaking territory around the world, you will hear the sweet sounds of this English accent.
I might move to just to watch you.
It's crazy. I had a friend of mine who lives in Saudi Arabia send me a clip, and he's watching, and I'm doing it in Saudi. I was like, wow, we're really international now. Yeah. But what really fascinated me in that game was the first substitution that Joe Mazzulla made. Do you know what the first substitution plan was? It was a hockey platoon substitution. The starting five went off, and five guys from the bench came on.
I love it. I really do.
Unpredictable. Because... no one's prepared for that. And do you know who stood out to me?
Who's that?
And I love this. And I know you'll be a fan of this player as well. Hugo Gonzalez from Real Madrid. Yeah.
I liked him in the draft.
He came into the game and took on the assignment of guarding Jalen Brunson. And he did a fantastic job in guarding Jalen. And Jalen Brunson only scored a couple buckets on him, right? And he played fantastic defense. He was disrupting everything the Knicks did. He was a big reason why the Celtics took a 20-point deficit and got the lead down to single digits down the stretch of the game. But the thing that stood out to me, and this is what I loved, is after the game, a reporter asked him about his impact on defense and being a great defender. And he said, well, Jalen Brunson scored 30 on me, so I don't think I'm a great defender.
I love it.
The fact that Jalen Brunson maybe only scored 4 or 6 points on him, yet he's taken the personal responsibility of all 30 points. That's mentality great. For your rookie to come into the NBA, from international rookie as well, because the transition is more difficult for them. That the league needs to watch out, because one day he's going to be one of the best defenders in the NBA.
Well, you know, one of the things about getting a player, you know, from the EuroLeague, even if they're young, is they have so much experience and they're very team oriented, more team oriented than US kids. So I love that. I love that pick, and they have great scouts on the Celtics, and they do a great job putting a roster together. I'm very confident in the Celtics as far as bridging the gap till Tatum gets back, whenever that is. And so, and you know, how many businesses could say in the NBA, we cut $380 million off our payroll and we're still going to be competitive? It's never been done before. So I give them credit.
Coach, last season, the Hoop Genius podcast lost BJ Armstrong and Scott Perry, and we still stay competitive as the best show in the world, thanks to yourself and the rest of the team that stepped in.
Hoop Genius Global now. Yes, I like that. I like that. That's good. Well done. Thank you.
So those are some of the teams that have got off to a slow start. Is there anyone else that's on your radar that's been a little bit disappointing through this first week of the season?
Well, no, not disappointing. You know, because I think you're seeing a lot of one-on-one. Orlando's getting off, lost a couple of home games.
That was a tough loss against the Hawks
Hawks, and then Chicago got him last night.
Yep.
My buddy Billy Donovan has started 2-0. He's such a great coach. He's got a team. His best player hasn't even practiced once yet in training camp.
Their bench has been fantastic to start.
Absolutely crushing it. I think their bench last night, the Magic at home in this day and age, back when I was coaching, no one would have even noticed. The Magic scored 98 at home. Okay. We used to hold people under 100 all the time. Okay. Now, all of a sudden, that happens. And the Bulls bench, I think, gets 54 or 58 points last night. And I looked at Billy's thing, and guys just started, didn't play many minutes. And that was okay because he's rewarding guys for their effort when they play. I think it's great. I'm really happy for them because no one has them. I think you gave them a permanent
play-in spot,
right? Yep. Yeah. You know, so which is cool. I get it. But I think you're going to see that Billy's going to maximize who their team is. So they're a surprise. The Clippers are someone who I was surprised they lost to Utah first game and then they came back and crushed the Suns. Minnesota.
Utah have this thing of the first game of the season always being really good. Who was it that went on to win a championship despite the first? I think it was when the Warriors won that. Was it the Warriors winning that championship in 2022? The first game of the season for them, they got absolutely killed by the Jazz. Maybe my memory's serving me incorrectly, but I remember someone winning a championship despite the first game of the season being like a 30-point beatdown to the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, I mean, when you're playing 82, Mo, and you only see the big thing is, and I don't know what the rules are in football in Europe. But we only have training camp for 21 days, which is kind of absurd. They don't play for 4 or 5 months. And now all of a sudden you say, oh, get ready in 21 days. And you must give them one day off a week. We have a wonderful union here that protects our athletes, which is great. So they have to have one day off a week. They play maybe 4 or 5 exhibition games during those 21 days. And you're supposed to be ready for a season. And guess what happens? Inevitably, players get hurt in training camp because they're not in basketball shape. They're they're in shape on machines, one on zero with a trainer, but they're not ready to play 5-on-5 basketball, and guys get hamstring issues and stuff like that. So now you have players that are starting that aren't even playing the first game. So injuries are a big deal early in the season.
Well, you mentioned the Bulls getting off to a surprisingly hot start. Let's talk about some of the hot starters in the NBA this season. And I want to start right there in New York City with the Knicks, who are 2-0 under Mike Brown so far to begin this season. And what's really standing out to me for the New York Knicks is this new philosophy that Mike Brown has brought in with the way he's doing things. In the first game against the Cleveland Cavaliers, the substitutions, something that we had never seen with Tom Thibodeau in charge over there. You know, it's the stars
he didn't have any subs there, right? He only had five guys.
the Knicks in their first game against the Cavaliers used 18 different five-man lineups. The bench scored 35 points in their opening game. They only did it 9 times last season, where their bench was lowest in the league in terms of points. And it's not just the minutes and the rotations that's different under Mike Brown. The style of play is very different. They're trying to play at a faster pace. They're trying to get out there and run, as I told you, they did against the Celtics. But on offense, Jalen Brunson is getting the same number of touches as he did before. However, he's holding onto the ball a lot less. He's taking less dribbles, less time with the ball in his hands, looking to create more for his teammates, not just when he's in possession of the ball, but he's also setting screens for them. He's moving without the basketball, and there's a lot more motion and a lot more variety in this Knicks offense. What stood out for you so far?
Well, the biggest thing with Mike Brown's teams as compared to Tibbs, who we all recognize as a heck of a coach.
Absolutely.
2 years in a row in the playoffs, both against Indiana, I believe, he physically wore out in those two series, you know, where he had nothing left or he got hurt. And I think what Mike Brown understands is I have a plan to get you through the season physically. And that's just, you know, we used to tell our players in Detroit when Isaiah was playing, we would say to them, listen, we're going to play till the middle of June. So I know how to get you through it. And I think it's a huge thing for a player because their body is that's their greatest asset. And I think Mike's style of play also is very fast, you know, has an incredibly team-oriented style where everyone gets touches. That is good in any sport, you know. So I think that's really, he's doing a great job there. Mike also is doing a hell of a job in speaking to the media, which is something that, you know, a lot, I think it's, the great thing about, if you have an articulate head coach, it's important that he conveys basically your business message on free advertising to the media, and you can really sell things and explain things to the fans who are all fans in any sport worldwide are so loyal to the brand. They want to hear what's going on. They want insider, and the coach is the one to provide that for them. Not don't tell them. You can be, and this really helps them, and I think, and that's part of, it's communication. So I think, you know, you have the Knicks, Chicago, Milwaukee, and Philly, a little surprise, 2-0. Miami just went into the Grizzlies and crushed them by 32. But I think, you know, we're seeing Indiana's the team that I'm concerned about, as I said beforehand. Injuries, plus I just don't think they have the bench that they had before, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, and now I think they're in the middle, going to start a three-game, they started a three-game road trip after our Grizzlies losing by, you know, basically 40 points the night before at home. They came on a back-to-back and whacked the Pacers. Shocking, you know, mm-hmm. a little bit shocking. Now, here's my OKC thing. OKC, this is, I'm not big on stats. Like, you're the hoop genius on our stats. You're our analytics person. I'm not. I'm feel. OKC, I think, has won 20 straight games against the Eastern Conference, which is insane. Mm-hmm. On the road or at home. So it beat the Hawks last night. But here's the thing that really gets me about OKC. They've got a lot of injuries right now. A lot. And that's disturbing. You know, they're young and they're hurt. Is that Shea's playing a lot of time. And that bothered me. And he the guy, literally, they could have scraped him off the court the other night with 55 points.
The first two games were both double overtime games.
Yeah. And so that's when I say, boy, I took some, I'm not going to use the word I normally word, some SH, you know what, from NBA executives this week, getting on me because our Hoop Genius Instagram clips came out there and said, oh, legend predicts OKC will not repeat. So I got all kinds of flack from my friends at OKC. But it's not because I don't think, I think they're the best team. Yeah. I just think you're going to have a target every night. And everyone is playing you so damn hard. You make their season if someone beats you, you beat them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gives you, so that's the only reason. Not that I don't think they're great.
And shout out to all the executives around the league who are locked into the Hoop Genius.
It's become a staple. It's carried on by our alumni.
Hey, we appreciate all of you. But let's keep it going with the hot stars. And we spoke about this at the very start of the show, but let's circle the block on the San Antonio Spurs. Coach, the question I have for you is based off just the first week alone, this is a way too early prediction, but could they be for real contenders? Because I had them as a first round exit as kind of their ceiling this season, but could they surpass that? Conference finals, maybe.
They can be the first round exit if they have a terrible matchup. And that's what playoffs are all about, matchups. So if they get someone, let's just use Denver as an example. If they play Denver and Denver just has Jokic, Valanciunas, and they're just wearing him out. You know what I mean? That type of thing. But you got to guard him at the other end too. So Houston, I mean, it's probably going to be someone big that can lean on him, et cetera. But I've noticed in the matchups, people are putting small players on him defensively. That's going to be a mistake because this guy is now worked on his game to go inside. And if when he sees those small guys on him, when they get him in the post, it's going to be over.
Well, you mentioned the Denver Nuggets just there. How about Aaron Gordon to start this season?
I'm so happy for the guy. I really am. You know, when he came into the league from college, he was a great team player, great effort player, defender, rebounder. The only thing he couldn't do is shoot and score. That's what they said.
That's all changed now. He dropped 10 threes. No. 10 of 11 shooting for 50 points in the opener.
Remember, he was with the Orlando Magic, and they dumped him. One of those, trade deadline deals around the All-Star break. Really an incredible move to get rid of a guy of that. That's a franchise player, in my opinion. A cornerstone piece. He's not a superstar, but he is the foundation on a winning squad, a championship squad, in my opinion. And he was hurt last year, game seven, so he doesn't play, or else we don't know what would have happened, frankly.
And he I was happy to see that. He was playing on basically one arm.
He was
carrying injuries throughout the whole season.
I think we see a guy like that put on a show like that on the road. That's amazing. It was great to see. That's NBA basketball, in my opinion.
But they did. The Nuggets did fall in their season opener to the Golden State Warriors, who are currently 2-1. What I'm looking at though is they're 2-0 with Al Horford when he plays, and 0-1 without him. Uncle Al still at the age of what? 312 or whatever he is now, still impacting on both sides of the court.
I think Steve is going to try to not play him as many back-to-backs as possible. You know, he knows he needs him in the playoffs, and rightly so. Al, as the great Billy Donovan said, and hopefully he'll be a guest with us one of these days, is that Al Horford is all about winning. That's what he does. He's not about stats. This is coming from college when he's the third pick. If you want him on your team, what does he do? What does he do? Just win. That's what he does.
What is necessary to win. When he needs to step up, when he needs to take a back seat, and he's done it throughout his career.
And Steve Kerr and their front office, they knew that they targeted him as a guy that they knew with a veteran group was mature, could handle all the things, not going to worry about how many shots, all this crap. He's just there to help win and have a great experience as he finishes his career. I love the pickup.
And he's got a fantastic basketball IQ, so we can fit into that Warriors system seamlessly. Like, he's making touch passes off the short roll that a lot of players would take a while to adjust to that style of play, but he already knows where everyone is, like the back of his hand.
Very few players in the league that have the length of his career have ever played for a Hall of Fame coach and then played for great coaches at every one of his stops. That's really unique. And so, and now he's going to finish his career with a Hall of Fame coach. So it's pretty cool.
What have you thought about Jonathan Kuminga to start this season? Because there was a lot of talk about him over the summer, all the situation of him not wanting to stay in Golden State, but then he ultimately signs an extension. He started this year. What stood out to me is his three-point shot.
I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of Golden State staff, Steve Stackhouse, Terry Stotts. I mean, they got a really great staff, and they're all experienced. Steve and Stack have great, great players in the league. Terry was a good basketball player, overseas in the G League and stuff. But I think one of the big things you're going to see is that, they just understand Kuminga. If they insert and get Kuminga meaningful minutes, they're going to elevate his rise to becoming not a star, but a just an incredible, important role player on their team.
Kuminga's had his fair share of criticism, especially from the Warriors fan base. And I think a lot of people miss the context of, if you're not receiving regular minutes and you don't have a role that's consistent, it's very difficult for a young player, especially someone who was picked in the lottery, who believes that they can be a star in this league, it's very difficult for them to play 20 minutes in one game and then 2 minutes in the next game, up and down like that. It's very difficult for them because when they get out there on the court, they want to show what they're capable of. So they often criticize his decision-making, and I'm saying, well, what do you expect this young man to do? Come into the game for 2 minutes, make a couple passes, and then sit for the rest of the night, and then the next game be expected to score 25 points. It didn't make sense to me. So finding that consistent role for him is definitely going to help him showcase his talent, because he's extremely talented. A lot of the questions why I mentioned his three-point shooting was about his form and his ability to knock down those threes. He's doing it now. On defense, he's locked in. He's a great athlete. He's physical. I'm impressed by what I've seen from Kuminga so far.
Let me focus on minutes with any young pro player. Every player in the NBA and in any professional sport, they want minutes. And they want shots in basketball. I want to get minutes and I want to get shots. Sure. But your minutes and your are determined by how you understand in practice how to play every possession offensively and defensively. Also, your technical execution of the game plan and the schemes that we have offensively and defensively. I think that's where he's had shortcomings. Now, so as a coach, as a professional coach, I can't put you in if you don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. He doesn't come from a basketball background. He came from a very bad background into the league. So he's playing the G with...
League night was a...
And so he comes in and he plays with an absolute genius in Steph Curry. And so Draymond Green. You have two of the highest basketball IQ people in the whole league, LeBron being another. But these guys are savants. And so all of a sudden, trust me, it's not Steve Kerr taking him out. It's those guys taking him out. They don't have patience if you don't know what the hell you're supposed to do. So I think he's maturing. I think he's getting it. Hopefully it sticks.
Absolutely. Well, this week coming up, the NBA Cup begins for its third season. Coach, why are you shaking your head?
I love it. I just love this.
Yes.
You know, so many people in the States didn't like Adam Silver. When he talked about it for a year before he got it through, he had a vision based on football in Europe, and he saw the interest that it takes in season. Plus, it breaks up a boredom of a whole meaningless 82 games, you know, where, you know, hey, we're in Cleveland tonight, or this place, that. Now, all of a sudden, you got some games that are really meaningful, and I think that is great. And so he was able to convince our union, the Players Association, that this is good for the game. And the reason that's important is that unselfishly the players said, okay, we want to grow the game, we want to do it, and also they have to negotiate with the union to change anything that we do, practice time, game times, number of games in a season.
Because this does affect the schedule.
Yes, and so you have to negotiate. And two teams will play one extra game. They'll play an 83rd game. That actually isn't included in the stats. The championship game actually doesn't go down. One guy scores 48 points. It's not on his points per game, which is silly.
Sponsorship money from the Emirates has helped smooth along some of those negotiations.
I love my brothers in the UAE. I love that. I want my goal, my bucket list is to fly first class Emirates Air before I die. That's what I want to do.
You're going
to
make that happen, Coach.
It looks like the commercials that we run in the States now, they're everywhere.
It's a hotel room in the sky.
That's what I said. I want to. I want to
be us. Let me stop gassing them up.
Yeah, right. But anyway, I think they're on the referees' jerseys.
Yep. Emirates NBA Cup. Do you know what I love? Do you know what I really love?
Yeah.
From a marketing perspective, they stopped calling it the in-season tournament after the first year.
It's a horrible name.
Horrible. NBA Cup just makes more sense. So the games are going to be Tuesdays and Fridays primarily on Amazon Prime, which you should be tuning into anyway on most Fridays, not for any particular reason. But the teams have been drawn into groups. The Eastern Conference and the Western Conference have three groups apiece. The teams in the group There's, what, five teams in each group. They'll play each of their opponents once in the NBA Cup games. You know it's the NBA Cup because they've got special court designs. They'll play two of those games at home.
I love the courts.
You love the courts?
I love the courts. I mean, for an OG, Coach loves the courts. I mean, just because, you know what they, for the fan perspective, you say, wow, this is special. Okay, so I love the courts. I love the investment. You know how much a court costs, like one of those?
No.
£250,000, as you would say, per court.
Crazy.
You know, so they're making an investment for those courts at, for their teams at home. The courts are beautiful. You'll never forget them. But anyway, I think that it will see that, and then we'll get to see when they get through the whole thing, the semifinals and finals on December 13th and 16th, I think,
in Vegas.
Vegas, which, you know, the last time we're going to see that. Now the finals will now be moved next year to the team with the highest seed at home.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah, that's a little breaking news for you, Mo.
Oh, we might have to make a trip to Vegas this year. But should we break down what's going to happen, you know?
you want to go to Vegas. You don't, even if there wasn't a tournament, you'd be
there.
You
know what it is, Coach? I'm just cold. I'm cold. It's freezing here, man. You've got to get me out of here.
I think we'll bring you to a road trip. It is 80 degrees here, 80 degrees Fahrenheit here in beautiful.
So let's break down the NBA Cup. So Group A is the Thunder, Wolves, Kings, Suns, and Jazz. And bear in mind, the winner of each group advances to the knockout stage, plus one wild card. I'll tell you about in a minute. Group B is the Lakers, Clippers, Grizzlies, Mavericks, and Pelicans. Group C is the Rockets, Nuggets, Warriors, Blazers, and Spurs. And then over in the East, Group A, Cavs, Pacers, Hawks, Raptors, Wizards. Group B, Celtics, Pistons, Magic, Nets, 76ers. And Group C is the Knicks, Bucks, Bulls, Heat, and Hornets. Now, the winner of each group advances, like I said. The one wild card from each conference will also make it to the knockout stage to make it an even number. The wild card is decided by the best record in group play. If there is a tie, then it goes down to a head-to-head fixture. If that is still tied, then it's the total amount of points. This is something we've seen in previous years.
Yes.
It adds an extra element of competitiveness, because usually in the NBA, if you're up double digits in the final few minutes of the game, you bring in your bench, you kind of just whatever, last few possessions you hold the ball. But now with this points differential factoring in, teams are going hard until the final buzzer sounds, which some people didn't appreciate, but I appreciate people playing hard-nosed basketball the whole way through the 48 minutes. Who do you have coming out of each of those groups?
Okay, let's go East ABC first.
Perfect.
All right, East A. I'm going to do it in an untraditional way. I'm just going to pick Cleveland as the best team. Okay,
yeah.
That's okay.
It makes sense because the Raptors, the Pacers, and the Wizards, not really. The Hawks could be a contender, but the Cavs on paper.
Hawks are kind of my runner-up a little bit.
Yeah.
And Toronto is my third team because unbelievable home court advantage in Toronto. Okay. East B, okay. I mean, there's some really good teams there. I mean, and two not so good teams. I'm going with my old alma mater, the Pistons. Mm-hmm. I'm going with the Pistons. I think they could come out of there. Okay. In East C, I'm going with the Knicks. I think that they have a lot to prove. The Bucks are really good. I think the Heat are going to be better than people think. The Hornets are better. As long as LaMelo Ball is healthy, they're competitive.
The Hornets lost that game to the Sixers last night, but they played really well for 35 minutes.
And LaMelo Ball is like a triple-double every time he plays.
He's must-see TV as well.
Yeah, he does stuff on the court. It reminds me of White Chocolate, Jason Williams, White Chocolate, as far as things he can do with a ball, passes he makes, the way he handles it. He's a magician. Okay, so those are my picks. The Knicks, the Pistons, and Cleveland. And with the best record of the other teams that will be there, as an outside pick, I'm going with the Bucks.
The reigning champions of the NBA Cup.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that.
Darvin Ham undefeated in NBA Cup games. He's the assistant on the Bucks. Won it with the Lakers. Won it with the Bucks.
Darvin Ham is one of the most fascinating human beings in the NBA. We need to talk to him.
Yes.
All right. West A. Woo. This one's loaded. Ooh. This is loaded with, is that Minnesota and OKC, right?
Minnesota, OKC, Phoenix, Utah, and of course, our friends at the Sacramento Kings.
Yes. You know, I think you have to go with OKC. Yeah. I think we have to go there. Okay. And so also, and since they're going to make a, you know, the players will know it's not another game when they step on the court to play these cup games. I think OKC's pride and team steps up. West B, good. I mean, they got some good squads here.
Also, just on OKC, they lost in the final last year. So yes. That's some more motivation.
Got blown out. Did they get blown out in that game? Yep. Yeah. Crazy. Anyway, you got Dallas, Clippers, Lakers, Grizz and Pelicans. So I think the top three, you know, I'm going with the Clips. Going with the Clips. I just think that they got a squad. As long as they're healthy, they're very, very, they might be the oldest team in the league, maybe. But I really think they really, and they're incredibly coached. And West C, Denver, Golden State Rockets. My goodness. That could be the top three seeds. And it could be the top four seeds in the playoffs in the West. How about that?
That's a tough group of death, we call it in football competitions over here. When there's a group draw and one group has a tougher opponents, we call that the group of death.
So I am going to pick Golden State as the team to go. And I'm picking the Spurs to be the team added from the West.
No, I'm not picking Golden State coming out of that group.
Okay.
I'm picking San Antonio Spurs coming out of that group.
Okay.
Because I just think, for the Golden State Warriors, who have won so many championships with their core, their goal is the Larry O'Brien Trophy. For the San Antonio Spurs, for someone like Wembanyama and the young players that they have, I think that's something they will really be going after.
Good call.
Because they might be realistic and say, okay, we might not be ready to win the whole championship this season, but let's win this season, and then we can keep it moving after that.
But if you think about it, all five teams in that draw.
The Blazers are an underrated team as well.
They have some talent, obviously, as we saw. You know, they had Golden State down 30 plus points the other night. I really like their talent. So I just think that is the one that we could get two teams out of, possibly. Yeah.
The teams who advance to the quarterfinals, they get $51,000 each if they were to lose the quarterfinals. If they advance per player. If they advance to the semifinals and lose, it's $103,000 for each player. If you reach the finals and lose, it's $206,000 per player. And if you win the NBA Cup, it's $515,000 per player, which obviously for a superstar who makes $50 million a year is not a huge amount of money. But for a guy on the end of the bench, you know, a guy on a two-way contract, a guy on a 10-day contract, a guy on a rookie contract, that $515... Like, when we're talking about in the context of NBA, $515,000 doesn't seem like a lot. But it is a lot of money. That's a house.
It's almost a two-way contract for the year.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's half of a minimum rookie contract. That's what I'm saying. The union that they have in the NBA is the most powerful union in the world in any industry. There's nothing even close. The average player is averaged $14 million per player. As a union, pretty good. So I just think they did a great job of two things. Number one, getting this great event to be seen worldwide through Prime, global sponsor in Emirates Airlines, and then showcasing our talent in December and November. Brilliant idea. Why? In the States, we're playing football, college and pro. Everyone's consumed by that. That's all they care about. But we're trying to play NBA and we're trying to play hockey during these times. This cat is going to capture them a little bit. For the basketball junkies, this is great. Mm-hmm. Adam Silver has always been, in my opinion, in the NBA, the best marketers there are. And so this is another brilliant move.
Do you think from a player's perspective, they approach these games differently to regular season games?
The young ones do. They want that money, boy. They do. They want that money. Yeah. And you know what? And for the older ones, some of the older ones that make the large money, They might even give it to the younger players. They've divided up.
Yeah,
they give it to support staff and stuff like that.
Yeah, 100%.
Which is cool. Which is cool. I mean, so this is a brotherhood thing. This is important to them. And when I say brotherhood, this is the brotherhood of a team. Yeah. So I think it's important. I really do.
So you've picked the winners you see coming out from each group. Which two teams will we see in the finals? One from the East and one from the West.
Oh man, you put your Spurs in there, boy! Oh boy! Oh boy! You gotta be resilient. You gotta be.
I'm picking the Thunder to win it for the West and get back to the final like they did last season.
Okay, I can go with that.
But what about the East? The East is
crazy. I mean, it could. My goodness, it could just be everyone. I'm going to go with my Pistons.
Okay.
I'm going to go with my Pistons.
I like that. Well, we have a simulation from NBA 2K26.
Okay.
Ooh. Would you like to know who the most realistic basketball simulation in the world has predicted for the final of the Emirates NBA Cup?
Are they going to predict me being very dumb?
They've predicted.
Go ahead.
They've predicted the Minnesota Timberwolves losing to the Atlanta Hawks in the final of the NBA Cup with, and this was really interesting in the simulation, Trae Young missing the final with an ankle sprain,
Kristaps
Porzingis averaging 27.6 points and winning NBA Cup MVP. Anthony Edwards in the final had 43 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. Julius Randle had a triple-double. But it wasn't enough to overcome 34 points and 9 rebounds and 3 blocks from Kristaps Porzingis, 25 points, 4 assists from Dyson Daniels, 16 from Zachary Richey, 50 from Okongwu, 14 from Kennard, 12 from Johnson, 11 from Nikhil Alexander Walker, and a few other guys contribute. So they have the Hawks winning it through their depth, which I think is a pretty interesting take.
No, it's fascinating, and who am I to argue with technology? We will see. We'll see human versus the other thing. And fairness to 2K25. 26. Oh, my God, 26. It's the tournament is in 25.
Yeah, it's 2025 NBA Cup.
Yeah, it's the Emirates Cup 25. And so the thing that I think is the thing that's so hard to assimilate for them is we don't know who's going to be injured, you know, but during that whole time. They picked out someone to be injured. You just don't know what's going to happen. So it's going to be fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing some of the NBA Cup stuff going down. Coach, what else are you looking for now in this second week of the NBA season as the season continues to roll on? What are you keeping your eye on? Any teams, any players, any storylines? What are you keeping an eye out for?
Well, you know, I want to see... I always believe one of the great things about sports, I think it really is young people that play the sport, is I've always marveled at the way they bounce back from adversity and things happening. So we had two teams this week that got touched by this FBI gambling thing, okay? And it's the only thing I'm going to mention about it. Miami Heat with Rozier and, of course, Chauncey Billups with Portland, the coach. Within 24 hours, where these people were very important parts of their team, the Portland Trailblazers went out and whacked the Golden State Warriors, just destroyed them at home. And then Miami Heat, with our U.S. men's national team Olympic coach Eric Spoelstra, go on the road and absolutely destroy Memphis by like 40 points. That tells me about the resilience of young people and how they can bounce back way better than adults do, mm-hmm. Okay? Way better than we do. And I think it's a testament to these guys and how they perform. They are performers and they are entertainers. And I love that about them.
Well, one thing I did want to get your coaching opinion on.
Sure.
Is with Chauncey obviously being in this situation, he has Thiago Splitter has been promoted to interim head coach of the Portland Trailblazers. And it's interesting now because he was the former head coach at Paris Basketball.
Yes.
The Memphis Grizzlies with Thomas Lasalo, the former coach of Paris Basketball. So that's two of the last coaches of Paris Basketball now being NBA head coaches. Their current coach is Tabellini, Francesco Tabellini. Are we going to see him as a coach next year? And I know David Kahn, who's been an executive in the NBA for a long time, became the president over there at Paris Basketball. What do Paris Basketball know about hiring coaches that the NBA is always trying to steal them?
People should follow what they're doing, okay? Thomas Isolo is going to be a star. I've said that. I've known Thiago forever. He's terrific, and I think his poise showed the other night. He's a great NBA veteran and a great guy. And those of us that have had touched him over his career know how special a guy he is. So even though he's, you know, from Europe, you know, didn't go to U.S. colleges, he's as NBA American kind of guy as we get because of his vast experience there. He's going to do a great job. Even though he's only with the team a few months, he's really connecting with the guys. You can tell that.
He's a player's coach as well. He'll let the players figure it out.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think everyone in this league has to. You have to. It's, you know, it's like if you and I were shooting a movie for cinema and we say the movie is all about us, the directors. Bad movie. Bad movie. It's about the stars in the movie. We have to... The objective of coaching is to guide players and put them in the best possible position to succeed. Thiago, as a great player, knows that. Thomas Isolo, same deal. His experience and everything. He's a player's guy. Two different philosophies. Unbelievably, uber successful. So I'm really thrilled for them. I'm glad that we have coaches that are coming from across the pond because some of the best basketball in the world is played over in Europe.
Absolutely. Well, Coach, I'm excited for another week of the NBA continuing. I'm excited for another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast on Thursday. So make sure you set your reminders, sign up for notifications on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. And if you haven't yet, do please go and watch our conversation with Isaiah Thomas, the legendary Hall of Famer. There were so many gems in there. There were so many takes that you need to hear from Isaiah's perspective on the game as a true defensive savant and a true winner and a true champion. If you haven't yet heard that, do definitely go back and listen to it because
he was, I talked to him since. He was such an appropriate guest to be on Hoop Genius because he is a genius.
Yeah.
And to be our first guest and of us having guests this year on a regular basis, he was perfect guy to start us off. And I was excited. You did a great job interviewing him. He was awesome.
I appreciate you, Coach. And you do a great job yourself, and you've done a great job again today. We appreciate you having you here as part of the team as we roll on this season.
I'm so excited for this year. I'm so excited to be on this because this is now where we're educating the world on this, and it's great. It's a marathon season over here.
And this season already is an all-time classic. Like, from the first week alone, the performances we've seen on the court, things happening off the court. I seen a fan run onto the court the other day and try and grab Donovan Mitchell. Like, the world's going crazy, and the only consistent in the crazy world is the Hoop Genius podcast. So please do subscribe, leave it, review, share it with your friends, all of that good stuff. We appreciate each and every one of you who tunes in. And until next time, you guys know what it is. Get buckets.